Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon and stay tuned after me. Of course, Pastor Rusnacko will be on, and he's pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. If you're out on the east side looking for a good church, let me encourage you to check them out. And then, of course, last half hour, if you were listening, I hope you had a chance to hear. I was filling in for Pastor John Lutz, and he's pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, out on the west side. And again, you can check them out if you're out on the west side. But our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, is located south of Cleveland, midway between Akron and Cleveland, in Richfield, Ohio. We're right about where Interstate 77 and 271 cross. We meet at the 4174 Wheatley Road, and that's Suite 200. I tell that because sometimes people are looking for a church building with a steeple. Well, we don't have a steeple. We have a door. We have a commercial space in a commercial building there. So we are at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. We'd love to have you visit. You're not doing anything tonight? Come out and visit us tonight. We've got our Bible study, our weekly Bible study every Friday night. It's an informal Bible study where you bring questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And we got refreshments and different things and available. And we just have a good time of fellowship and just talk about the Bible and try to understand it, as well as understand what's happening in the world around us in relation to God's Word. So we invite you to come out. And then, of course, our regular services are also there at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. On Sunday morning, we have our morning service at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the book of John, Gospel of John. And then on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs. So we'd love to have you come out. If you don't have a church home, if you're in a church that does not preach from the King James Bible and doesn't believe or doesn't understand the issue why we use the King James Bible, you might want to give us a try. And certainly if you're in a church that doesn't believe the gospel or preach the gospel, we'd love to have you come. You need to be in a church that preaches and believes the Word of God. All right, well, we're going to get into a couple of things here this afternoon. We were started in the last half hour as I was filling in for Pastor Lutz, and again, I'm thankful for that. He filled in for me just a couple of weeks ago on this program, and we were talking in the last half hour about the millennial kingdom and the thousand-year reign of Christ that follows the tribulation period. And it's an exciting topic. It's a topic I love to look at because it's our future. It's where we're going to be if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If your sins are forgiven, if you're born again, the Bible says you are going to be a part of this kingdom. And we saw in the last half hour the setup, how it occurs after the tribulation period comes to an end. We will, as believers, have been caught up to be with the Lord in the air prior to the tribulation. We'll sit at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll receive a reward based on our faithful service. Heaven is never the reward. Heaven is not something you earn. Heaven is a gift. It's the gift of God. The Bible says, lest any man should boast. And because we're going to heaven, then we will be judged when we get there, not as to whether we can be in heaven, but as to what type of reward we will have in heaven. And I think it'll also have to do with responsibility that we'll have in Christ's kingdom. And so at the end of the tribulation, of course, at the end of that time before the tribulation comes to an end, we'll also be at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. And that, I'm sure, will be an exciting time. But at the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ returns in power and glory. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 that not only does he return, but the armies of heaven return with him. That would be you and me, angels, and all those in heaven. And the Battle of Armageddon, the devil is defeated, the Antichrist, known as the beast in the book of Revelation, and the false prophet have been cast into the lake of fire for 1,000 years. Seven times between the verses of between Revelation chapter 20, verse 20, and verse 7, I believe it is, or 8, seven times 1,000 years is specified. I think God means it's 1,000 years. And this is also the time that Daniel, in his great prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, said at the end of the tribulation, the purpose of the 7 years of the tribulation period was to bring in everlasting righteousness. This is in Daniel 9, verse 24, the end of the verse. To bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy being Christ, to anoint him as king. And as we were closing out the end of the last half hour, I stated about how the Antichrist would declare himself to be God in the midpoint of the tribulation. And then at the end of that time, the Bible says, and I'll just read this starting in verse 27 here, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and he, that's the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation, the false Christ, he says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's a week of years, remember, that's 7 year period. And in the midst of the week, which would be 3.5 years into it, he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. That would be what Jesus referred to when he said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. That would also be what Paul referred to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 when he talked about the man of sin, the son of perdition, which is the Antichrist or the beast, who goes into the temple and he shows himself to be God, and not that he is God, but that he's claiming to be God, and he will make that attempt. And a number of things actually happen at that time. Revelation chapter 13, where the devil's access to heaven, where he accuses us day and night, will be cut off. And so all these things take place at the midpoint of the tribulation. It says, and he shall make it desolate, meaning the temple there, even unto the consummation, which means the end of these things, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so this will wrap up everything necessary to the point where Jewish people will recognize Jesus as the one true Messiah. And and there's other places, I'm not going to get to that right now, where it talks about that in Zechariah chapter 12 and elsewhere, where they recognize him whom they have pierced, meaning Jesus, as the Messiah. And they mourn because they realize they could have accepted him and recognized that sooner. But I mentioned last half hour that amongst the things that take place on the earth during the tribulation period, tremendous loss of life, wars, famines, great earthquakes such as the world has never seen, meteor impacts upon the earth. There's even implication that a comet might strike the earth during this time. But the time is so deadly that Jesus said that if it went on much longer, when he said, unless those days were shortened, or except those days were shortened, he was meaning basically if it went on any longer, it wouldn't be anybody left. And we see that 2/3 of the Jewish people will die during that period of time. And just as a rough calculation, out of 8 billion people in the world, if we look at 2/3 of the Jews dying as an index and assume that that 2/3 was to apply to everybody, that means nearly 5.4 billion people would die during the course of the tribulation. out of the 8 billion people in the world. I mean, that's over half. That's two-thirds. Nearly 5.4 billion people dying in a seven-year period of time. That's why one of the things that'll take place during the millennial kingdom, the Bible talks about people collecting and burying the bones of them that had died during the Battle of Armageddon, and they'll be burying those for months after the millennial kingdom starts. But let's go back to Revelation chapter 20 now. And when we look at Revelation chapter 20, and we see that it's 1,000 years. And the thing that's exciting about this, and this is where, you know, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, meaning the events of the tribulation are getting set up, we see the foreshadowing of that today. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot, that's what it would be like before the Lord returned. And we see that today, the days of Lot marked certainly for their sexual immorality and the rise of homosexuality and sodomy and all these sorts of things that we see that Jesus called abominations. And we see these things happening, the Bible calls, as the days of Lot. And we also see it saying as in the days of Noah. And we see that happening too, the wickedness. And as another area, the attempt to change and fundamentally alter what it means to be human. Look up transhumanism sometime and some of the things that's going on there. Don't have time to get into that right now. But when we see these things begin to happen, Jesus said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh in Luke 21. And he said that because we're supposed to be encouraged, not discouraged. And when we see what's happening in the world around us, it's easy to be discouraged. We need to look up and know that Jesus is coming back. There's going to be a catching away of the believers. There's going to be a seven-year tribulation period. There's going to be a return of Christ along with the armies of heaven, including us as believers, at the end of the tribulation, where the armies of the Antichrist are defeated, the Antichrist himself, the beast, and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. And then in Revelation chapter 20, the angel from heaven chains Satan himself and throws him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And what is interesting about this, and of course then the speculation would be, if the devil's in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, what about the other fallen angels? Will they be there as well, or will they still be here on the earth? Well, we don't know that for sure, but I do know this, having the devil in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years has to be a good thing. But even better is the fact that Jesus Christ will be ruling over the earth during this 1,000-year period as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as he's ruling over this earth, the Bible says here in Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The dead that come out of the tribulation period, who were killed for the cause of Christ, meaning those that put their faith in Christ and they die during the tribulation period, many of them martyred for Christ, as it indicates here, many of them beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God. These people are going to live again during the resurrection, or I'm sorry, during the millennial reign of Christ, and they will rule and reign with Christ. But they're not the only ones ruling and reigning with Christ. Let me go back to Revelation chapter number 1. In Revelation chapter number 1, it says this, talking about Jesus. Let me just go here to John, or Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. And then it says this, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you catch what he said there? Those of us washed from our sins with his own blood. That means the redeemed. He says, had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Kings and priests. I mean, that's an exciting thing to think about. Kings and priests that he's made us. We are going to rule with him. We're going to serve in his kingdom as kings and priests during that period of time. I mean, that is an amazing thing when you think about it. God has plans for us. And when we think about the things that we're doing here in this life and our faithfulness of our service and all, I heard somebody put it one way. This is like a job application or a tryout for what you're going to be given to do during the tribulation period, where we're going to serve as kings and priests, rulers in God's kingdom, in the civic sense and in the spiritual sense during his kingdom. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Yeah, and holy priesthood. I mean, we're going to be serving him during this thousand-year reign of Christ here on earth. You know, thinking about eternity in the future, it can be a difficult concept, but we can think about 1,000 years. You know, 1,000 years, you can divide it into 10 centuries, 10 periods of 100 years each. You can divide each century into 10 decades. We look back 1,000 years in history. We look back 2023 to 1023. That's 1,000 years, and we can look at history. And so we can look at some of the things that are going to be happening during that time. Also in 1 Peter chapter number 2, he says this in verse number 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called us, called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but were now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And we will serve in his kingdom as a royal priesthood. And we will serve, and I just like this idea that we will be there representing Christ. We will be there in a capacity where we can serve him during this time. It's an exciting thing to think about when you realize we're not just going to be sitting around doing nothing. We've got things to do. We will serve in his kingdom. Now, when it says kings and priests together with him, well, certainly we think about the civil and the spiritual aspects of God's kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, where we will be there and we will be serving alongside of other believers, those certainly from who came to Christ during the tribulation period, died during that time. We'll also be serving, I believe, alongside of the Old Testament saints who will be serving in God's kingdom as well on earth during this time. And we'll have much to do. Think about it. You know, we just think of the United States for a second. You know, we interact with representatives of the United States government all the time. If you went to the post office and bought some stamps, that person in the post office is a representative of the United States government. If you got a speeding ticket, that police officer pulled you as a representative of the government. Of course, that'd be the local government there, unless it was a federal officer. Like, say, for instance, my family and I were in Washington, D.C. 6 weeks ago. If you got pulled over by a federal officer, their state police, or Washington police, I think, are part under the federal government in some fashion. But anyway, you know that what I'm getting at is that we meet all kinds of people, you know, in the Social Security office, the post office, the wherever, representatives of the United States government. And It's big. There's a lot of people, functioning in a variety of positions. And yeah, I guess it'd be kind of like that in that sense. And then certainly as priests, many things to do. Some people more visible positions, some people less visible positions, but all of us working together in the goal or in the service to our King, Lord Jesus Christ, will be sitting on the throne. And then, of course, who else will be there? Well, that's another good question, isn't it? You know, there's going to be some people who survive to the end of the tribulation period. There are going to be people who come to Christ during the tribulation period and survive that period of time. And as I had said elsewhere, the Bible indicates that 2/3 of the Jewish people would die during the tribulation period, but it means 1/3 of them will survive. And that 1/3 that survive, they'll be amongst those that recognize Jesus as their Messiah. And when they do that, you know, that's a fulfillment of Romans chapter 11, where he talks about "and all Israel shall be saved." They will come to the recognition that the one that they had pierced, the one that they had crucified, will actually is actually the Messiah, and they will put their faith in him, accept him as their Messiah, and God will empower them. And so these that survive the end of the tribulation, they will go into the millennial kingdom like you and I are now, meaning that they'll be like us. They'll have, you know, body, soul, and spirit, but they'll have a sin nature like we do today. Now, those of us that have been caught out of the world and have a part in the rapture, and those that have part in the first resurrection, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, which is what we are, the tribulation period saints, we will all have a new body, and that new body will have no sin nature. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm my worst enemy, and I have to deal with my own sin nature all the time. The idea of living for 1,000 years not having a sin nature to deal with is just almost beyond comprehension. It's exciting to think about, to contemplate, that I will no longer have this sin nature. And the sin nature, of course, is in league with the world and the devil, trying to trip us up and trying to keep us from serving God all the time. But when the people who survive the tribulation come to knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, look at this in Zechariah chapter 13 here, and it says this in verse 1, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." Well, what is that fountain? It's the fountain of the living water, the fountain of God's grace. "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols." He says, "the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." And it shall come to, let me just drop down here for time's sake, verse number 4, "And it shall come to pass in the day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear rough garment to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet, I'm a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him," and this is to Christ when he returns, the Messiah, "what are these wounds in thy hands?" Remember where he was nailed to the cross? "And he shall answer, those are which I was wounded in the house of my friends," referring to the crucifixion. And he continues with this, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third shall be left therein." That's the implication, that 2/3 of the Jewish people will die during the tribulation period. 1/3 will survive. He says, "And I will bring the 1/3 part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and they shall, and will try them as gold. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." This is amazing, isn't it? The people that come to Christ during the tribulation, they survive the tribulation. These people will go into the millennial kingdom, and they will be like we are today, but they'll still have that sin nature. And they'll have children, and those children will have children. And they will grow, and they will serve God, but not all of them will serve God. Some of them will reject him. And when the devil's left out of his prison at the end of the 1,000 years, one final battle takes place. And in short order, the devil and that battle are put down, and we're ushered into eternity in the future. I hope you know Christ as your Savior. I hope you're looking forward to that day like I am. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night
from 10 to midnight.
And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.